Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our victorious risen Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. You know, the scientific principle of cause and effect has always intrigued me. A cause is something that makes something else happen. Out of the two events, it is this event that happens first, while an effect is what happens because of the cause. Of the two related events, it is the one that happens second or last. Our natural world is ordered in such a way that certain things cause other things to happen. Causes set off a chain of effects. Cause and effect are built right into nature so that things do not happen without causing other things in turn to happen. Effects are always dependent upon causes within nature. That is, certain events will predictably cause other things to happen. Every action will inevitably bring about some kind of reaction or chain of reaction. Because of this, things in nature are bound together by a kind of logical necessity. Things are connected by cause and effect. For instance, a boy teases a dog, and that will cause the dog to become angry. A girl loses sleep, which will cause her to go to bed early the next night. A student studies hard, and he will do better on his test than had he not studied at all. You can see here how one thing inevitably leads to another, for every cause has an effect. Most things in our world do not happen in a vacuum. They happen in a context, and this context is cause and effect. They are dependent on other things that happen before them. Most things in nature, when set in motion, set off a chain of events that result in other events. And we all know that's true in the physical world, and it's also true in the social world in which we live. So that your words and your actions will have consequences. They will affect those living around you. The choices that you make are bound to produce certain results that will affect the lives of others. And so your decisions on how to live are not independent and isolated events that affect only you, but they are almost certain to cause an impact on others. Your life will have an effect upon those you live with. It'll have an effect on those you work with, even those you come into casual contact with. You can bring happiness and joy into the lives of others, or you can cause them pain and grief based upon your Christian or unchristian behavior. You can bring forth good, or you can bring forth evil. And whether you end up helping others in your life or harming others is predictable, and it is based upon your behavior. It all depends upon whether you bear good fruit or evil fruit. In the physical realm, again, we refer to this as cause and effect. Certain things in nature happen by necessity. They're so obvious, so intuitive, that we don't even question them. For example, ducks quack. That's what ducks do. Squirrels gather nuts and they climb trees. That's what squirrels do. Cows give milk. That's what cows do. There's a kind of inner instinctual necessity that governs these actions and reactions. That's the way God wired our world. He wired it in such a way that we can pretty much anticipate what plants and animals and nature will do. For instance, if you read the news recently, we know that sharks and alligators are predators, and they will eat people, as we have witnessed in Florida. Geese will fly south for the winter according to their migratory patterns. Seeds, when they're properly planted and watered and weeded and fertilized, will germinate and produce a bumper crop. Thunderstorms will produce lightning and high winds and hail. Gunpowder, when it's sparked, produces an explosion. The laws of science have come into being as a result of man's scientific study of cause and effect. Well, Jesus himself, 2,000 years ago, spoke in the language and the logic of cause and effect. He told his disciples that every tree brings forth good fruit. Every good tree brings forth good fruit. That's what good trees do. They bear good fruit. Our Lord explained that a bad tree will be unable to produce good fruit. Take apple trees for an example. Apple trees provide apples. That's what apple trees do. And like the apple tree, Christians also bear fruit. That's what Christians do. Today we learn that God chose you, Christian, to go and bear fruit. That is God's holy purpose for your life, now that he has purchased you with his blood and won you back from sin, death, and the devil. So that doing good works as a Christian is God's will. It is God's plan for your life. You still walk this earth and have not been removed to heaven for this purpose alone, so that you might go forth and bear fruit for his kingdom. Not to fulfill this holy purpose that God has for you would call your faith into question, since faith is what causes good works to happen. Good works are always the result of faith. True faith causes Christians not only to do good works, but to want to do good works. It is saving faith that causes Christians to live faithful, fruitful lives. That's what Christians do. At one time, before we had faith, we lived unfruitful lives according to the deeds of darkness. But when faith came into our hearts, it changed us, making us anxious to serve the one who would sacrifice everything for us. For this reason, I don't have to stand up here and try to force you or convince you or coerce you into doing good works. As Christians, you want to do good works. It is the result of trusting in God's unconditional love for you, his free grace extended to you in Christ. It is now spiritually instinctive within you as a new man or a new woman in Christ who has been reborn in the waters of baptism to want to do good works. Again, it's what born-again people do. And so faith follows the logic of cause and effect. In this sense, the spiritual realm is not that unlike the world we live in. For faith of necessity produces the identifiable fruit of works in the Christian's life. Now, while good works are not necessary for getting you into heaven, good works are necessary for you to do as a Christian in this life. And although good works do not play a role in your salvation, they are proof to those around you that you do have a living, genuine faith in our Lord. And so, good works are the necessary result of faith. They are the supernatural byproduct of faith. Good works necessarily follow and flow out of faith. If you're looking for cause and effect, faith in Jesus Christ is the cause for all good works. In fact, the Bible says without faith in Christ, it is impossible to please God, no matter what works you might be able to perform without God. For this reason, in today's gospel, Jesus declares that God has chosen you. God has appointed you to go and bear fruit. That's what you are called to do. That's what you are appointed to do as Christians. The fruit that our Lord refers to is the fruit of good works. We call it fruit because good works in the life of a Christian are the fruit, the result of having saving faith. No, we're not saved by our works. We're saved by Christ's work on the cross. We're saved through faith alone in the words and the works of Christ, not our works. And yet faith is never really alone, because just as soon as faith is born in the heart, it will find itself busy and active, producing a life filled with good works. And so, holy lives are the inevitable result of having the Holy Spirit in our hearts. As he influences us as a consequence of faith and baptism. The Spirit of Christ that lives in you is the source. He is the cause of every good thing that you or I are able to accomplish and do as Christians. That fruit is produced by the Spirit in us Christians. And that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-restraint. Don't be fooled. Where this spiritual fruit does not exist, faith does not exist. We are able to test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And it really is an easy test to detect and determine the presence of faith. Any so-called faith that does not produce a holy life is not from the Holy Spirit, no matter how much someone may protest that it is. But whenever the fruit of the Spirit is present in a Christian's life, there is external proof that faith is present in the heart. For you see, the Holy Spirit makes us holy in one of two ways. First, he declares you holy when he causes you to believe in Jesus as your Redeemer. And then he makes you holy so that your life begins to reflect his holy presence and his sanctifying influence. We all know how a whisper chain works. That's where you whisper a message into someone's ear, and they in turn whisper that message to the person next to them, and the message just sort of moves down the line to the other end of the room. Sometimes we've played that as a game. The message gets repeated over and over and over till it reaches the other end, and then the fun thing about the game is to see how distorted the original message becomes as it moves down that line. And often, as we know with a chuckle, the final version of the message bears little resemblance to the original message. And so it is with the biblical teaching regarding good works. Among Christians, it's as if someone started out by whispering the message, Christians don't do good works in order to be saved. But somewhere along the line, that message gets altered. The original message was, Christians aren't to do good works in order to be saved. But as it passes down through the centuries in the church, we have seemed to reduce the message simply to Christians aren't to do good works. As modern Christianity has transmitted the message, something has been lost in the translation. For while good works do not save a Christian, the Christian lives to do good works. That is what those of us who were purchased and redeemed by the blood of Christ do. In the church's efforts to stress that we are saved by grace alone without works, so that we might assure people of their salvation, we may have inadvertently implied that we Christians can live optionally without doing good works, and that is simply not the case. For the very purpose of your Christian life, your baptismal life, is to honor God by your good works. You see, you have been called to live lives that are worthy of the gospel. Today we're going to baptize a new Christian in the late service, my nephew, Brandon Elliott. I'm very excited about it. And we have other Christians today who will be confirmed in the Christian faith. We still have other Christians who join our congregation today by transfer. I wish that we could do this in both services so you could see this. My prayer is that their faith will produce the fruit I'm talking about, that they will persevere in their Christian walk. And as I think about these things, I find myself borrowing a prayer from St. Paul. The apostle prayed this prayer, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. And you know, our prayer for these people should be very similar. For just as God has called these Christians to believe that they are saved by grace for Christ's sake and without works, at the same time, God wishes to produce in them all manner of good works. And you know, really, as I think about it, this prayer is really appropriate for any of us who are sitting in the pews today, whether you have been a Christian for days or weeks or months or years. For God has appointed each of us to bear the fruit of good works. Remember, the spiritual definition of a good work is to do those things which would show love for God and love for our neighbor. In the gospel today, Jesus says that we can make his joy complete if we obey his command to love one another in his name. And yet you and I do not have it within our power to choose to love others or to do good works unless God has chosen us to believe in Jesus and to belong to him through baptism. But there is good news here, because God not only chose to save you, God also chose to change you into a holy and Christian people who would be characterized not only by your faith in Christ, but also by Christian love and good works. And so in the spiritual scheme of things, faith is the cause and good works are the effect. Having faith in Jesus changes us. It is the inevitable result of faith that we should bear fruit to the glory of God and to build his kingdom. Now, let me explain something for those of us who tend to feel guilty. This does not mean that if you have missed the opportunity to do a good work at some point, that you are not a Christian. Because unfortunately, we all know that we Christians still struggle with sin. And that is going to make us inconsistent in the performance of our good works. And yet, while we Christians are inconsistent in the performance of good works, we are not unfruitful. Christians do more good works than the good works we fail to do. For in the end, it is simply a matter of cause and effect. Ducks quack. It's what ducks do. Christians do good works. That's what Christians do. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and motivate you and stimulate you to do good works in his name. Amen.